Father, we give you praise for your special name among men. For the sweet fragrance of faith that we feel in the house now. That this building is charged with faith. Faith to move every mountain. Faith that dispels fear, superimposes itself over its reverse, which is fear. Thank you that you have supernaturally emptied our hearts of all fear and filled them up with a God kind of faith. Not just faith in God, but the faith of God. Thank you that demons are trembling, that cancers and tumors and cysts have to disappear, that deliverance has come to this house and all of our homes. Thank you that our families are delivered, our money is returned, our households are set in order. This is our millennium and this is our jubilee. We give you praise. You have rebuked the devourer for our sake. You have cast the devils out of our minds. You've anointed us to say yes to the counsel of your will. Your power prevails. Continue to minister deliverance to this house. Each one watching, listening, hearing, feeling. Pity the groans of your little ones everywhere. And bring deliverance to all. We magnify your name. The name of Jesus. Everybody say hallelujah. Come on, say it again. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you and be seated.
21st chapter of John. I want to begin reading at the first verse. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about to 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk as we close out this book from the subject, turning failures into success. Turning failures into success. I believe that this text, it taught that we are to be on the lookout for Jesus when he shows up. It also helps us to understand that Jesus will show up. In this 21st chapter of John, it is the epilogue to John's narrative. It has been said that John decided to add this chapter sometime after he completed his gospel in order to clarify the misconception about the relationship between his death and the Lord's return. The rumor was out that John would not die before the Lord's return. John, therefore, decided to add the chapter that would make it clear that Jesus did not say that he would return before John died. John also shows us in this chapter Jesus' appearance to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had made several appearances in or around Jerusalem. After Jerusalem appearances, the disciples had returned to Galilee. Jesus made several appearances in this region, about 500 believers. To James, his brother, and the appearance recorded here in this text today. Prior to his resurrection, the Lord had told the disciples that he would meet them at an appointed place in Galilee after he arose. But due to the disciples' unbelief and fear, they had remained in Jerusalem. And after Jesus' appearance to them behind locked doors, behind closed doors, they did as they had been told and returned to Galilee. But as they waited there, they remained unsure, confused. So they did what they knew how to do best. They went fishing. Now, you have to understand something about fishermen back in these days, that fishermen were not weak-minded people. They were not weak. They were strong men. They were able to endure tough times. They were able to do the hard time, because fishing back in those days were hard work. But let me say here parenthetically, sometimes we continue along life's journey pretending that everything is all right. There is a story about two men walking their dogs on Sunday morning. One person had a German Shepherd. The other man had a French Poodle. And so the man with the German Shepherd said, "You know, we ought to be in church today." And the other fellow replied, "You know, we can't go to church with these dogs." The man with the German Shepherd said, "You just do what I do." He puts on his sunglasses, walks up to the church door, and was greeted by the usher. And she said, "We are glad to have you worship with us today, but we do not allow dogs in our sanctuary." And he said, "Oh, this is my seeing eye dog." And the usher says, "Well, come on in." Following him was the man with the French Poodle. He put on his sunglasses, walked up to the church door. The usher greeted him, "Welcome, sir. We are glad that you are here to worship with us today. But I'm sorry, we do not allow dogs in our sanctuary." The man replied to the usher, "This is my seeing eye dog." At that time, the usher looked at the man, looked down at the French Poodle, and said, "You have a poodle for a seeing eye dog?" And the man replied, "Oh, is that what they gave me?" There are many of us today that we are walking around pretending to be something or someone that we are not, and deceiving ourselves. We are pretending to be all that and denying the fact that we are in a failure mode. We have been deceived by the devil, and what we have is a life filled with failure. The sad part is that the devil has blinded us, and we cannot see it happening to us because we always feel that it is the other person and it's not me. I believe what causes this type of attitude is that we have been put under pressure by others, our peers, and we think that we must live up to their standards or we won't succeed, we won't fit in, or won't be popular.
and all that you have ever needed to succeed in life, and all you will ever need in life to succeed will come from Jesus. You can walk around with your head up high, live in hope, regardless of what anybody says or does to you, if you know who Jesus really is, and if he abides in your life. You see, the disciples, they had lost all hope, and their heads were hung low. And so the first thing they did was to revert back to the way things used to be. So the first thing I want you to see here is refuse reverting back to the way things used to be. Y'all looking at me funny here. Early this morning, look, verse 3 says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Peter decided that he would go fishing, and the other disciples said, we're going with you. They followed him. It seems as though they did not know what to do with themselves. Jesus had been crucified, and now their master was no longer with them. So they thought that they would do what they do best, go fishing. Isn't it amazing, without Jesus in the picture of our lives, that we will often revert back to doing what we used to do before we met him? Oh, Lord God, you are acting like you all don't know what I'm talking about here today. You act like you've never been with Jesus. Oh, you've been with him, and then you forgot about him, and you went out on your own, but things did not work out the way you thought they would work out, and you went back to the way things used to be. The disciples were uncertain what they were to do now. They were confused. Peter and the others returned to the old way of life, fishing, but with little success. And many times that happens to us. We go back to the way things used to be and find out we will not have a lot of success. Many times when we have hit the hard and tough times in life, when things did not go as we planned for them to go, or when it seems like we have reached our wits' end, we get frustrated and immediately we want to go back. What we did it to what we did at first. When we go back to the same old thing, the same old relationship, we go back to the same old woman, we go back to the same old man, we go back to the same thing, we go back to the bottle, we go back to the drugs, we go back to the cigarette, we go back to the things we used to do. You see, fishing is what they knew. Lord God Almighty, it is what they were doing before Jesus found them. I said before Jesus found them. And it turned them into somebody. He changed their lives. They were uneducated, undisciplined, and unsaved. But Jesus came by and made a difference in their lives. But yet climbing into the boat, casting out the net, rowing to where the fish were supposed to be, was not exhilarating anymore. And that night had to be filled with such sorrow. Not only were they not catching any fish, but they had lost the master. They still trying to deal with it. He came through the door when they were all locked up, afraid of the Jewish leaders, afraid of the Sadducees and Pharisees. They saw him, but he disappeared again. What's going on? I don't understand it. Peter says, I'm going back. And that night it was filled with sorrow. So often our nights are filled with sorrow. Sorrow over a broken heart. Sorrow over ruined lives. Sorrow of depleted finances. Sorrow of wayward family members. Sorrow of lost jobs. And the list goes on and on. Many nights we labor in vain and we are filled with great sorrow. Can you see the struggle that they endured? They were accomplished fishermen. They were strong fishermen. This was their trade. This was their profession. This was their career. But they caught nothing. They knew where the fish were. They knew how far down the fish were swimming. They knew how to catch the fish, but not this night. They caught nothing. They struggled on, and their labor was unproductive. And many times this same scenario echoes in our lives. We struggle in the darkness. We know what to do. We've been down the road before. We've had all the answers, but we struggle and we struggle, and our catch is unproductive. We cannot seem to get ahead. Bills pile up. Life becomes more complex. Our health deteriorates. Our friends move away. They stop talking to us. We struggle constantly waiting for the break in the darkness, and nothing happens. We're laboring all night and catching nothing. Lord God Almighty, not only did they revert back to what they used to do, but second of all, they fail to recognize Jesus. So the second thing here I want you to see is recognize Jesus as Savior and be restored. Lord God. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Peter testified, Jesus as the Son of God, yet denied him three times in one night. He swore he would never forsake his master, but ran away for fear of his life. Peter, a man of broken promises, a man of failures. He had broken fellowship along with the other disciples. Broken fellowship is now on the verge of being mended back together. You remember the story of Humpty Dumpty who sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty who had a great fall. And all the king's men, all the king's horses could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. The disciples were broken and needed to be restored. Man could not restore the broken fellowship between God and humanity. Humpty Dumpty fell from the wall, but humanity fell to sin, just like these disciples, just like us. It happened when Eve was deceived by the devil. Humpty Dumpty decided to climb a wall. It wasn't enough to stay on the sure, flat, firm foundation. He wanted to see the world around him. He wanted to become self-sufficient. And in all of his becoming, he came tumbling down to the ground. The nursery rhyme goes on to say that no one around him could put him back together again. No one had the power, the strength, the wisdom, the know-how as Humpty Dumpty lay there on the ground, shattered into little pieces. No one had the ability to restore Humpty Dumpty. And I came by to tell you, no one has the ability to restore you. Just like they couldn't restore Humpty Dumpty and put him back together again. Nobody can restore you but the master himself. The disciples were broken, and they could not put each other back together again. Humpty Dumpty was broken. Somebody looking at me right now. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Your life is broken. Your heart is broken. Your relationship with God is broken. The priests, the prophets, the kings, they couldn't restore the broken fellowship between God and humanity. All the king's horses, all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. The misfortune is not that Humpty Dumpty is in little pieces, but those around him are just as broken as he is. The reason God needed to send his son, Lord God Almighty, to restore this broken fellowship is that no one else could live an unbroken life. No one else could live a sinless life, a holy life, without falling prey to the devil. No one else could bear an old rugged cross. No one else could stand the pain of nails driven in their hands. No one else could endure the suffering and the agony of being pierced in the side. No one else else could undertake being crushed for my iniquities, for your iniquities. So Christ stepped down from heaven. The King himself restored this broken fellowship, God and humanity, that sin and guilt would be destroyed, and the fullness of God, I came by to tell you, dwells within Christ, and the fullness of Christ dwells within the believer. Lord God Almighty, it is the overflowing cup of blessing that dwells in the believer when we recognize Jesus and when he restores us. Stemming from the overflowing cup of blessing is the fullness of joy. It is the fullness of God. It is the fullness of the Spirit. It is the fullness of wisdom. It is the overflowing cup of blessing that holds it in. The grace and mercy, forgiveness, and a spiritual feast when we can sit at the table that has been prepared for you and me right in front of our enemies. Jesus was standing there and he prepared a table for the disciples in the process of restoration. However, they did not recognize him. And I came by to tell you today that there are many times when Jesus shows up in our lives and we fail to recognize him. And when we fail to recognize him, we keep doing the same old thing, expecting different results. And you know what that is? It's insanity. God is the master of all things, and his timing is perfect. He has a certain timing to deliver us from our woes, to release us from the failures of life. For those who love him and worship him, Solomon said it like this: to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck. What is planted is a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time to war, and a time of peace. I want you to know today that there is a perfect time for every detail of our lives, and God knows the right time. And that's why it's so important, when Jesus shows up, we must be in tune to the Spirit so that we can recognize him. And the reason we can't recognize Jesus when he shows up is that we are not connected to the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise in this place tonight.
Come on and praise the Lord with me.
Come on and praise.
God, and we're